Hello, everyone. I'm sorry that I have not had the chance to upload previous Bible studies to the website yet, but hopefully in the next day or two, I can get those uploaded. Last week, looked at verses 10 through 12 in 1 Peter chapter 1, and this week we're going to look at those same verses again. So if you've not with us in person last week, then it's not a problem. I think that the subject matter concerning today's study versus last week's is not going to leave you behind if you did not have a chance to be here last week. And of course, hopefully in the next few days, I'll have that Bible study uploaded. And you may have already listened to it by now before you listen to this one. And so, but anyway, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit and His work as we look at verses 10 through 12 in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, last week I mentioned that the Spirit of Christ and the Holy Spirit refer to the same Spirit, or, when you hear those phrases, it's referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand that the Holy Spirit was working in the Old Testament prophets as we look in verses 10 through 12 of 1 Peter chapter 1. We also know that He worked in the New Testament apostles, and He even continues to work today in the lives of believers. There is so much that the Holy Spirit does and so much that He is. We will not be able to cover everything. I would imagine not even in a week's worth of messages, especially not in a study over three verses of Scripture. But I hope that we can finish this study today with a greater appreciation for the Holy Spirit and His work. So if you have your copy of God's Word with you, I invite you to find 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and let's read them together, and then we'll pray and dive in. So verse 10 says, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when He testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that when they were not serving themselves but you, these things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word and also the explanation of your word. And Father, as we look at these passages, I ask that the Holy Spirit, who is the subject of these verses, would guide our study, that He would give me the words that we need to hear, that we would feel His presence and His power as we examine your Scripture today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our passage today divides the work of the Holy Spirit into two time frames. That is, before Pentecost and after Pentecost. Before Pentecost goes from eternity past until we see the Holy Spirit's manifestation with the apostles in the book of Acts. Then after Pentecost, it includes all of the writing of the New Testament. Now, I'll point out that while the events of the gospel happened prior to Pentecost, they were written after Pentecost. And all of the books of the New Testament were written after Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit has continued to work throughout time and works even today. And so as we consider this passage, we'll begin by considering the work of the Holy Spirit before Pentecost. Now, we see the Holy Spirit present and active even before creation. In Genesis 1:2, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." So as we see in Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was, or the Holy Spirit, was involved in the creation. And so just before God spoke and said, let there be light, the Lord's presence was there hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, as we look throughout Scripture, we see that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together in creation. Of course, the Gospel of John speaks of Jesus being present during the creation. And then, of course, we understand the Father and his role in speaking things into existence. And then we look at the creation of mankind, and the Lord said, let us make man in our image. And that second person plural is including not only the Father and Son, but the Holy Spirit as well. And so as the Holy Spirit worked in creation, he continues to work in the midst of humanity. Before Pentecost, he worked specifically in and through the prophets. And so in verse 11, it's 1 Peter 1, it says, they inquired into what time or what circumstances the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance to the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So we understand that the Holy Spirit gave the prophets their message, and oftentimes it was a message of warning, a message of repentance, or even a message of judgment. Every time there was a message of the Messiah, that is, whether it was a message of repentance or judgment or warning, included in those messages was a message of the Messiah and teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least that they could look forward ahead in time as to who the Messiah would be or what the Messiah would be like. And so even from the third chapter of Genesis, we see the Holy Spirit revealing through Moses what happened in the Garden of Eden and the Lord's promise of the Messiah that would strike the serpent's head. So we have throughout Scripture the Holy Spirit telling us about the Messiah. Now, we continue to see the Holy Spirit at work throughout the Old Testament, and we get to the Gospels, and we see the Holy Spirit doing something even greater than all that he did before in and through the prophets. Now, I want to point out real quickly before we continue on and look at how the Gospels show the Holy Spirit working before Pentecost, but one of the things that I want to point out is that the Holy Spirit for the Christian is in every Christian believer. Everyone that believes in the Lord, everyone that's saved, the Holy Spirit resides inside of them. But in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit took up, anointed specific people for the task at hand, especially the prophets. And there may be a few others that were anointed and used of the Holy Spirit, but especially those that were used to pen the books of the Old Testament. They were empowered and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so as we see him continue to work, we see him working in the virgin's conception. So when Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb, it was not by some conspiracy of men. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1 says, but after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So we see the Holy Spirit acting in the conception of Jesus, but his actions do not end there. We see him working throughout the life of Jesus as we watch the Holy Spirit and Jesus working together through the Gospels. We see the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus as a dove at the baptism. We see that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness for the temptation. In Acts 10:38, we see that the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus. It says there in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all those who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. So as we look at those verses, as we look throughout the Gospels, we can see that Jesus worked in cooperation with the Holy Spirit as he taught, he preached, He healed. He worked the miracles. Whenever Jesus did anything, it was a work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together as Jesus was working. In verse 34 of John chapter 3, it says, "For the one whom God sent speaks God's words, since he gives the Spirit without measure." And even the death of Christ was a work of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciousness from dead works so that we can serve the living God?" So let's think about this for a moment. Every miracle Jesus did and every word he uttered was through the power of the Holy Spirit. His birth was through the power of the Holy Spirit. His life was through the power of the Holy Spirit. His miracles were through the power of the Holy Spirit. His teaching and preaching were through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we saw in Hebrews 9:14, his death was through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what about his resurrection? Look at Romans 8:11. It says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives in you." The Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8:11 and some of the other passages that we've read, we see that the Holy Spirit was actively working in and through Jesus the Son to bring about the means of our salvation. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples gathered and prayed together for the Holy Spirit. Then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in a miraculous way. So let's take a few moments and look at the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, or maybe even we could consider the Holy Spirit as he's working today. You go to Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit making his presence known among the apostles and the early church. He came suddenly with a sound that sounded like that of a violent rushing wind, and that came from heaven. It filled the whole house where they were, and they saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each of them. They were then filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, according to my understanding of Acts 2 and the language there in the original, and as we looked at the translations there, it seems very clear to me that these other languages that the apostles spoke on that day were not an unknown language or a heavenly language, but were other languages known by men. It makes it clear that as the apostles were preaching, that everyone in attendance heard the message in their own heart language. And so it would be as if on my mission trip, when I went down to El Salvador, it'd be like me preaching in English, and the people from El Salvador that are in presence would hear the message in Spanish. And that's kind of the way that happened there in Acts 2. Now, this all happened to give evidence that the Holy Spirit had come and was empowering the apostles and believers. And we see this as the fulfillment of Jesus' promise in Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has been working in and through the children of God. He begins by working in us even before we are born again. So he is drawing us to himself. He's presenting us with the gospel. He convicts the sinner of his sin, and he convicts the sinner of his need of repentance, and he convicts the sinner of the truth of the gospel. And he compels us to respond with faith as he draws us to himself and helps us to understand the gospel and regenerates us. And Jesus told us that we must be born of the Spirit to be saved. In John 3, verses 5 through 8, Jesus answered to Nicodemus, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So it is through the work of the Holy Spirit that we are saved. but his work does not finish with our salvation. Oh no, his work is just beginning in our lives. Romans 8:9 tells us, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So according to Romans 8:9, we can understand that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to keep being filled by the Holy Spirit, to allow him to fill us as his temple, and to sanctify us, to guide us, to teach us, to lead us, and we are to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. And so we need to be careful what we take in and what we consume. Now, this is a very explicit command here. Don't get drunk with wine. And yes, it is very clear. We do not need to get drunk with wine. We do not need to take mind-altering drugs and those things which lead to reckless living. We are to be filled by the Spirit. But there are other things that affect us. I mean, we can get drunk on gossip. We can get drunk on lust. We can get drunk on inappropriate relationships and so on and so forth. That there are things that we use to desensitize us spiritually as well as mentally, if you will. You know, you have a hard week at work. You may want to go home and binge watch your favorite TV show. And what that does is it lets us check out. And when we check out mentally as well as spiritually, it opens us up to reckless living, which also you could interpret as being influenced by the enemy, to open ourselves up to demonic influence. And so we need to be careful in how we go about our lives, that we don't allow ourselves to be drunk on wine or any other substance or form of entertainment, but we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, after Pentecost, he lives inside of us after we've been born again. So he's active in the work of bringing about our salvation by drawing us to himself, by helping us to respond in faith. And as he does that, we are born again in the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence inside of us. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we see that the Holy Spirit prays for us. Did you realize that? The Holy Spirit prays for you, whether you're having a good day or a bad day. Whether whether you know what exactly you need to pray for, if you don't even know what you're to pray for, you can know that the Holy Spirit is praying for you. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. What a glorious thought that we have before us right now is that not only does the Lord Jesus Christ pray for us, not only is he sitting there at the right hand of the Father at this moment praying for you, speaking to his Father on your behalf, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us as well. And he prays for us even when we don't know what to pray for. The Holy Spirit is praying for you, my friend. He is praying for you and wants the best for you. He is praying for your spiritual growth. He is praying for you to be a witness to others. He's praying for you as you face temptation. He's praying for you as things pile on you and you don't know how to deal with them and the stress of life just comes so that it's overwhelming you. The Holy Spirit of God is praying for you. And we also find not only that, but when we walk in step with the Spirit, He helps us to resist temptation and to crucify the flesh. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. You know, the wording of Galatians 5:16 is very simple, is very straightforward. He says that if we will walk by the Spirit, we will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. I don't know about you, but I know that I have trouble with the desire of the flesh. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, as Paul would say. But here Paul is also telling us that if we walk by the Spirit, we will certainly not carry out the desire of the flesh. So just as the Holy Spirit empowered the apostles, the early church, as well as the prophets, He can and He wants to empower us as well so that we will walk by the Spirit and not carry out the desire of the flesh. Now, thinking about our text today, and especially verse 12, and also thinking about Acts 1:8, let's make some observations as we think about the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 12 of 1 Peter 1 again, it says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. These things have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels long to catch a glimpse of these things. The Holy Spirit was sent from heaven, and the gospel is preached through the Holy Spirit. Whenever you listen to a sermon, it should not be an exchange in which the preacher is just giving you information. It should be an exchange where you come expecting a word from God. And you should be prepared to hear from the Holy Spirit as He speaks through the preacher as well as to him. Whether it is a sermon in a church or a Christian sharing the gospel with a friend, the Holy Spirit empowers, enables, and equips. Acts 1:8 tells us that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and resides in you. You have access to the power of the Almighty. But regrettably, we are satisfied with defeat when we should be triumphant. We'd rather be worldly than holy. We would rather come into church and do a religious service than have an encounter with God. If the Holy Spirit genuinely made His presence known to us as we gathered on Sunday morning for worship or even on a Wednesday evening, you could not keep people away, but people would be drawn to the place where God's presence has been made manifest. May He do it today at First Baptist Church of Goshen. May He pour Himself out upon us and into us even now. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit. It is my prayer in Jesus' name that we would walk by the Spirit, that we would not carry out the desire of the flesh, that we would rely upon the Holy Spirit, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, and may the Holy Spirit use us and work in us to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father, grant it for Your sake. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me again, and I look forward to possibly seeing you this Sunday, and I hope you have a great week.